Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the 2011 International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights in Strasbourg, France.
The listeners to Issues Etc. already have had contact through the program with lecturers who will be in Strasbourg this next summer. Craig Parton, myself, Dr. Minuge, Angus Minuge, Adam Francisco, and these lecturers are people who have defended the faith, who know how to defend the faith, and who are marvelous communicators. And so, if a listener to this program wants to learn how to present the case for Christianity in a secular situation, the 2 weeks in the French Rhineland with us would be an absolutely ideal way to achieve this.
You can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July 5th through the 16th in Strasbourg, France, at apologeticsacademy.eu. Well, within less than 100 years of the legalization of Christianity in the East, this man was not only well on the way to being considered one of the greatest preachers in all of Christian history, but he was already reforming the church and noticing corruption in the ranks of the clergy. Late 4th century, early 5th century bishop, and then later Patriarch of Constantinople, John Chrysostom. Joining us to remember this man on this day, January the 27th, Pastor Heath Curtis. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's author of a new publication, Daily Divine Service Book. Pastor Curtis, welcome back.
Always good to be here, Todd.
How would our listeners be familiar today with this 4th and 5th century bishop, St. John Chrysostom?
Yeah, St. John Chrysostom, a lot of people might know him from the Easter Vigil. If your congregation celebrates an Easter Vigil, that Saturday night service after the sun goes down, and so the biblical day of Easter has started, it's this very beautiful service. At a lot of those services, your pastor might read for his homily that night the Easter homily of St. John Chrysostom. And now his funny last name, Chrysostom, is not his last name. That's a title given to him. It means the golden mouth, because he was very famous both while he was alive and even more so after he died as a wonderful expositor of Scripture, preacher of the gospel. And a lot of pastors, not only Lutherans but of many denominations, use his Easter sermon almost as just part of the liturgy, because it is such a powerful, it's only about, 600 words long, and it is, I use it every year, and it's fabulous. And so the average lay person, you may have heard St. John Chrysostom and you didn't even know it, because your pastor might be checking out not only his Easter homily, but all of his homilies are collected, and they're very freely available on the internet and in books, and any preacher can learn a lot from St. John.
How would you describe his preaching from the 4th and 5th centuries to us today?
Sure. He speaks to us very directly today because he was so conscious about being tied directly to the Scriptures. You know, a lot of sermons from centuries past, sometimes they just kind of, they're good, but they're just so directly connected to some problem that was being faced in that day, or, they just might not be applicable, as a pastor looks to prepare a sermon. But St. John's homilies are always so very biblical, and John was especially fond of the epistles of St. Paul and the person of St. Paul. And if you want to know something about the book of Romans, the book of 1 Corinthians, anything Paul wrote, you can look to St. John's homilies and find amazing insights. And indeed, the Lutheran reformers turned to St. John Chrysostom quite a lot, because since John taught on Paul so much, a lot of the great quotes we have from this early church period about justification by grace alone, through faith alone, are from John, because he is such a good reader of St. Paul.
He considered himself, or was considered by others as well in his time, a reformer of the church. How so?
Yeah, he was reluctantly elevated from his position in Antioch, which is in its own right a very large city, the fourth largest city in the Roman Empire. But he is then picked to become the archbishop called the Patriarch of Constantinople, which at that time was really the focus of the empire, not Rome anymore, but Constantinople. And he continually butted heads with the civil authorities, who were accustomed by this point of really kind of owning the church, of having the men of the church kind of under their thumb. And how John became an enemy of the state, and how he endeared himself to average Christians was he stopped the pomp and circumstance in the lives of the clergy there in the capital city of Constantinople. No more big parties, no more extravagant expenses. He lived very humbly himself, and he wasn't afraid to preach directly against the the first family, as it were, and the way that they were living as well.
That's really remarkable, because Christianity had only been legal in the empire by that time for less than 100 years.
Yeah. And to get a sense of it, you know, you've really got to imagine like Billy Graham going on national television in Dallas Cowboys Stadium and saying he really doesn't like the way Michelle Obama's been dressing lately. You know, I mean, it's that direct and personal, and an attack. And so you can imagine he was, exiled a couple times and so forth. He took his licks for preaching it.
In exile, did he continue to work?
Yeah, he did. And he's famous for also protecting other exiles, folks who were exiled from Alexandria because of some of their theological teachings. So he also has this kind of grandfatherly soft spot for other exiles, and he helps them out. And he eventually becomes, even though he's a preacher, he doesn't have a lot of big theological treatises to his name, but he's such a good preacher, he's such a great, he's so learned in the scriptures that he is revered in both in the Western Church and in the Eastern Church as one of the great doctors of the church, the most learned men, and the men from whom we have the most to learn.
So how would you summarize, you mentioned before how you would describe his preaching, how would you summarize his theology?
Pauline. Again, much like Luther, he begins his theology and ends his theology with the preaching of the cross, which St. Paul always focused us on. Every book in the Bible is important. It's all the Word of God. But the accent you put on this passage or that passage can really change the way you look at the Scriptures. And so what is the central message of the Scriptures? Well, we say, and St. John Chrysostom agrees, that from the preaching of St. Paul, we can learn that the central message is that mankind is sinful, can't save himself. God does the saving through the cross of Christ. Keeping that cross of Christ in the center of your theology changes everything. And John is the guy we can go to learn how to do that today.
So this explains what you mentioned before, why Luther and the other reformers were so willing to go to St. John Chrysostom as a testimony of the antiquity and the authenticity of their own theology.
Absolutely. They're both, the reformers in St. John Chrysostom, they hook into that key dogma of the Scriptures, that key teaching of law and gospel, and they find it there in St. Paul.
Give us your favorite quote, if you would. I know there are many, 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 but give us your favorite from St. John Chrysostom.
Yeah, they are hard. I mean, I can at this point, I can almost quote the Easter homily from memory now, and there are tons of good ones in that. But I think my favorite has got to be kind of a pithy throwaway line that he wrote, which was, "Hell is paved with the skulls of priests."
You mentioned before that you preach his homily at the Easter Vigil every year. Why do you do that, Pastor Curtis?
Because it never gets old. It is the same and timeless message. And it's such I really encourage your listeners. I'll send Jeff a link, make sure we get it up on the website. It just rings. And especially in that Easter Vigil liturgy, which itself is so heart-wrenching and dramatic and emotional in the best sense of the terms, with that story from the Word of God coming alive in the ceremonies and liturgy of the church. It just fits. You know, he just nailed it. And 1,700 years later, I cannot improve upon it. It's just worth preaching every year.
Before we let you go, tell us a little bit about your new publication, Daily Divine Service Book.
You bet. That is a book that contains everything a pastor needs to conduct the entire divine service for every day of the year in one book, and what every lay person would want to prepare for every Sunday, for every festival, by reading through all the text. The lessons that we read, now, all the scriptures that are assigned, all the prayers that are assigned for a given Sunday or a saint's day, like today, St. John Chrysostom, those are called the propers. You know, we think of the gospel reading, the epistle reading, the Old Testament reading. But there's also the collect of the day, the introit, the gradual, the verse, the hymn of the day. All of those go into the mix, and currently in English-speaking Lutheranism, there was no one book that had all of those in one place. In other traditions, it's called a missal. And so I set out about 4 or 5 years ago to make that happen for Lutheranism. We've had a great response to it. Pastors and laity both have found it very useful, for which I'm very gratified. I basically put it together because I really wanted something to take on my shut-in calls that would allow me to do the whole service from one book. And 4 years later, it's out and published, and I think it's definitely worth a look.
Folks, you can find out about Daily Divine Service Book by our guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, under the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Thanks for being our guest.
Always a pleasure.
Now, when we come back, we're going to spend the last half hour of this Thursday afternoon, January the 27th, with Dr. Matt Phillips, as we have all week long, part four of our five-part daily series on the Crusades. Today, the promotion of the Crusades kicks into high gear. Pope Innocent III takes the promotion and the promulgation of the Fourth Crusade to a whole new level. We'll find out how when we come back. Our series on the Crusades continues with Dr. Matt Phillips after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Silencing pro-life options.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Most people today use internet directories to locate products and services. But if pro-abortion activists at NARAL Pro-Choice America have their way, women needing help due to unplanned pregnancies will have one less option. NARAL President Nancy Keenan announced she is petitioning some internet directories, including yellowpages.com, to remove pregnancy center listings. If this effort succeeds, millions who use these directories will not find listings which offer abortion alternatives. Sadly, many abortion advocates resent the work of pregnancy support centers because giving women real choices is not on their agenda.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. to join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.